League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the big show on an FEF Friday on The Usual Suspects. Barry, as we have verified, is not counting Confederate flags and relatives sleeping with each other on his way to Arkansas. He's actually listening, so we appreciate that. So, Barry, drive safely as he continues on his journey and trek to hog country. He let us know that the signal dropped for a second. It's back up, so we appreciate that kind of information. With that information, he supplied as well, A.D. Hodge, Comedian of the Week. Got a clip coming up at 2:15, another one at 3:15. If you missed the first one, check the podcast. He's a newer comic. He's worked with Barry, including in Austin recently. He's a hardworking, grinding kind of guy, so we want to give him some love. So there's our Comedian of the Week, so stay tuned for more of that. Kind of to wrap up the spelling bee, I did a little research during the break, fellas.
These spelling bee coaches is a real thing. You weren't lying.
No. So there's a company called Hexco. Hexco supplies personal spelling coaches. And according to their numbers, over the last 5 years, 18% of all spellers who advanced to the semifinals were coached by Hexco. And 17% of all finalists were coached by Hexco. So then I wanted to know, what is Hexco making? Just to be assessed, $375 you pay so that they can see if the student is worthy and can qualify to participate. At that point, the rates are as follows. 8 sessions, $2,100. That's 1 hour of one-on-one weekly or biweekly quizzing and coaching. If you want to go a little bit more elaborate, 16 sessions will cost you $3,500. That's the 1 hour of one-on-one weekly or biweekly with quizzing and coaching as well. So it's up to you. But if this company is cashing in and there's all these people participating in this, they're doing okay.
Basically, if you want to have a spelling bee coach for your child, you have to have enough money for a used car. That's pretty ridiculous. But the assessment alone is $375. I'm going to apply to be a spelling bee coach and only do the assessments. And we're like, all right, man, it's $375 for this assessment. Spell this word. You got it right, but I don't think you got what it takes. Next student, $375. $375.
Wait a minute. If they got cash, I would give them another word.
I would do the assessments only and just tell them they're not good at what they do and be like, $375.
So you're taking $375 even if you tell them to kick rocks.
Okay. What, you want to go through 8 or 16 sessions of this? But then I later
read. You want to be believable.
Got to fool them. Fake it till you make it.
That's what I'm saying. So fake it. Go, you know what? I'm not feeling confident about your spelling of that word. Let me give you another one or two to try. Just so that it looks like you're actually working for your money.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm too lazy for that. I'm not doing all that. But $375 is actually, I just read now, it's included in that first eight, that $2,100 that you pay for 8 sessions, that includes the $375 assessment. So you can't just do the assessment.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's interesting. I would have never paid... I just didn't know. Maybe, you know, I feel like I'm discrediting their industry, but no, I guess you need a coach. I don't know.
Well, because here's the thing that I was telling you, because it says even in here that they're going to go over the origins and they're going to give you words that they know have been used in spelling bees in the past and all these different things. But as I look at it, there's a company and then there are individuals, and the individuals flat out have forms on their websites that you have to fill out so that they can establish whether you have the criteria that they need in order to coach you, and then they'll give you rates. And it's a pretty serious deal, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I would have ever been good enough to. I participated in one spelling bee. I think I was the third person out. I was like, they're like, bye, get out of here, Nick. There's no way.
You don't have anybody that's arguing with you here in the studio now or with Barry on the road.
That's probably
just
true.
Just want to let you know that.
I know.
Obviously, the finals are going on, but also other things. I don't know if you guys saw this, but with the Stanley Cup playoffs going on. I found another phrase that I will use readily for you when you are back in the other chair going forward, just so you know.
Okay.
All right. So along with Pussy Willow and Full of Shih Tzu, I have another phrase that I'm going to put on the radar that you're going to have to be prepared for that Mike Milbury used. Mike Milbury was calling game two of the Stanley Cup playoffs and decided that he had a question regarding some of the play on the ice. Used a phrase that kind of caught some people off guard. Do we have, Talib, got the audio? It sounds a little something like this.
Everything started to go. It's almost as if everybody was afraid to take a chance, and then everybody said, what the fudge, let's just go do it.
Yeah, and they're looking sluggish.
So you're looking sluggish when you say, what the fudge?
I don't know if he like caught himself mid-sentence. He's like, what the, oh, I cannot say this word on the air right now. Let me add the DGE in that word. But look, hey, you can say that on the air. It's just not traditional, I guess. It's not the...
it's a Granato-esque thing to do. For sure. I will say this.
Because I don't think they really want that at the on the broadcast at the Stanley Cup Final, right?
No. No. But I mean, that's the kind of thing that even, you know, his producer in the truck, and I'm sure the executives back home are going, I'm sorry, rewind. What did he say?
Yeah. Well, I mean... You know, NHL might need that. I mean, I'm not saying it's a dead sport or anything like that, but it may need that attention. You know what I mean? Fights obviously are not enough.
What this tells you more than anything else, Nicholas, is in your life, don't be a pussy willow. Don't take any shih tzu from anybody.
I try not to.
And if anybody comes at you, just ask, what the fudge, bro?
But you know what? They're getting more and more open-minded. We talked about this before in other shows. We talked about how we expect in the future that news anchors, they're gonna be able to show visual tattoos and... You know how face tattoos are really common. Do you think that's going to happen? You said no, but I think they're getting. They're getting more and more open minded, man. I mean, I can't walk down the street without. I feel like 3 out of 10 people have a very visible tattoo now. I feel like they're all.
They
over
showed
the place.
A guy the other night that has he has the exact same face tattoo as Mike Tyson, and all the people on TV kept saying is, "Hope that's not permanent."
Big fan of Mike Tyson, by the way. Did you hear what he did?
No,
he punched this dude in the face for disrespecting Tupac. Good job, Mike Tyson. During the show, too.
Good job, Mike Tyson. So he's probably going to get sued. He doesn't have all that much money.
You don't think so?
Oh, no.
I think Mike Tyson's
making
it.
Dude, you know how
many
autograph shows this dude's doing just to collect the cash? And they said, like, when he's here doing autograph shows, you know, like, you sign for... They have all these different things they want you to do. You sign a bunch of stuff behind the scenes. Then they do, if you know, for the fans that want to pay a certain amount of money to get a picture and signature and stuff like that. Dude, he was puffing... Between every station they had him going to, they had a Mike Tyson room where he could go back and chill. Oh, he was chilling all right. When they opened the door, the cloud of smoke beat him out the room.
So there is a list of things that I guess that was on theroot.com, and they put like a list of things that I would never, you know, I would permanently, he would permanently ban himself from doing. And one of it was messing with Mike Tyson, but he listed a whole bunch of stuff, like all the stuff that he did, the alcohol, the drugs, all that. So I would imagine you're right. He is probably hurting for money, but he's so like likable despite his past.
He was buying like Bengal tigers and all that crap. That's why they made fun of him in The Hangover and all that. But he had a Broadway show. It was like a one man play where he was trying to make money off of that as well.
That was actually funny. Did you see that?
I heard he did a pretty good job.
I know that like Adult Swim, the Cartoon Network, they did a cartoon of him where he was like raising pigeons, and that was actually real too.
Yep. He's a big fan of raising pigeons.
They somehow race them though. Like they let them go and there's like pigeon races.
They have to go pick up something and then come back or something like that, right?
Right. And you have to kind of follow them, don't you? Like you have to where they go.
Well, you got to tag them, I guess, and then they show up and arrive at the destination.
GPS.
Oh, that's what it is, yeah. I forgot the name of the industry, but they did a whole documentary on it. Pigeons is actually, believe it or not, my dad's old mechanic shop, we had an issue with pigeons on top of the canopy, on top of the gas station, and they would just poop all over everything and ruin the AC unit because that's where it was the station was built in like the 50s when Bel Air Boulevard was a dirt road. Okay. So they had the AC compressor on the top of the gas station and they would poop on everything and ruin the AC and the compressor and all that other stuff. So what we did is we literally caged them and we gave it to someone who like handled pigeons. Like all he did was collect pigeons. And at some point he was almost willing to pay for him to put this like locked cage on top of the canopy just for pigeons. Like, jeez. Just, which I was shocked. I'm like, really? This is an industry with pigeons? But yeah, they were all over my dad's shop.
Anybody so. Else want audio of Mike Tyson just trying to say pigeons?
That'd be hilarious.
Mike Tyson, I just want to say pigeons. Best punch I thrown was against, never mind. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Second hour of the show, 3-hour extravaganza. Lots going on, and of course, your participation always welcome. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Any baby mamas in here? Baby mamas, make some noise. Baby mamas? All right. Baby mamas and daughters. That's the ones I'm f***ing with. F***ing ones with sons. See, sons will never bless your game. A daughter will always bless your game, no matter what you do. Like one time I took this baby mama out and her daughter, and I did the basic, open the door, paid my bill in full with a $5 tip. And immediately her daughter started blessing my game. She was like, "Ooh, look at him, mama. He's so nice. He opened up the door and everything, mama. He already doing more than my real daddy right now.
There you go, comedian of the week, A.D. Hodge. That's his second clip that we've run. We got another one coming up at 3:15. Again, check the podcast if you missed anything off of those first two.
Real quick, I want to clarify on that story regarding Mike Tyson and Tupac. So Mike Tyson was
I'm sorry, to who?
I hope that didn't come out wrong. But anyway,
it did.
So it was a podcast. And he was being interviewed by the game's manager, the game, the rapper.
Yes.
His manager. And I guess the manager was insinuating that Tupac was bisexual and Mike Tyson wasn't having any of it. So just wanted to throw that little tidbit in there.
That's why you supported Mike Tyson more than anything else, because no one can bag on Tupac.
No, absolutely not. I didn't even know about the bisexual part until I went back and read the story in full.
You intrigued by that?
That he would insinuate or
that he might be. Or might have been.
I don't think he was.
You didn't want a piece of that?
I did not.
Okay.
As much as I love Tupac, no, I did not.
I know you. That's what I'm saying. I know you love some Pac.
Yeah.
And not with a C. Okay, so Lance wants to get in here with a pigeon story. Lance, what's up?
Yeah, I was just calling to touch up on that pigeon, kind of explain how it works. What it is like everybody in the pigeon group, they take all their pigeons to a meeting location, drop them off with a guy with a trailer, and then he takes all the pigeons to the destination, say if it's a 200-mile, 500-mile, et cetera, mile race, and then he lets them go. And then they fly back to their home, and as they go into their loft, it has a timer on it. So when they go in, it clocks them because they have a ring and all that on their leg. So it clocks them as they go in. So that's how, and then the pigeon with the best time wins the race. A few months ago, the most expensive pigeon sold for like $1 million.
I'm sorry, how much?
It was like 1.5, 1.8 million.
For one pigeon?
For one pigeon.
Oh, dude, I'm going out in the yard. There's got to be a way. Are you kidding me? 1.88 Lance, thanks for the call, man. That's why the suspects are great. They get information on everything, and most of it's randomly out there information.
I just Googled it. According to USAtoday.com, someone just spent $1.4 million to buy a pigeon named Armando.
Should be Armani. Holy cow.
March 19th.
Tyler, you're probably right then. So with these races, they probably just got a chip or something like that, and then they put the other chip in their cage when they get to their crib.
Yeah, because they have like chipping dogs and cats. It's like a little grain of rice, basically.
Right. Right, because all our dogs were microchipped. Because then if you're driving through the neighborhood and you see a lost dog, all you got to do is take it to any vet and they can scan it and then they know where the dog is from.
Yeah. So apparently this pigeon was a part of 178 pigeons that was being offered in an auction.
Side business, Nick.
$2.7 million.
I can see you with like a plastic garbage can and a broom trying to get pigeons to fly into it so you can start selling them off.
I did have a...
See the... I don't know why. Well, I know why it reminded me. But did you see the video on Barstool? I think it was like 2 weeks ago where some kid was in like a fountain area mm-hmm. and there were a bunch of pigeons and he grabbed two of them, just like straight up grabbed them. And then he walked over to his sister and threw them at her.
No.
First of all.
It's on Barstool's Instagram. You got to watch the video.
That's like, impressive as hell.
It's pretty good.
Even if it's just a pigeon, they always say that, you know, when they work on an athlete's quickness, you're supposed to catch a chicken. If the kid just walked up and grabbed two pigeons, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, I probably shouldn't admit this. I've had a pet pigeon before.
Oh, my God.
They're actually not that hard to catch, man. You can catch a pigeon. They're not
Tyler, BS or you believe in it?
I could probably catch a pigeon, yeah.
Oh, boy. I'm telling you what. If Barry was here, we would be out in the parking lot right now trying to see if
Barry
you guys
was
would be
here
catching.
And he knew that I had a pet pigeon, do you know I wouldn't
oh,
live?
Oh, my
The rest
God.
Of the show would be about me having a pet pigeon. Thank God he's not here. Thank God he's not here.
Well, when it was feeding time, did you walk around the house and just go...
I didn't feed it, but my mom did. It wasn't my decision to have a pet pigeon. I know that's weird, but...
Did it jump when you made fart noises?
Yeah, it actually did.
Did it?
It gets startled. Yeah, it's a bird. Yeah.
Well, I mean, your dog does. I just thought it was just a Shirara pet thing.
No, I guess it is. I guess it is. It's only in my household that I startle my pet with farts. Yeah,
I
fart
just
noises.
Sent you the link for the kid grabbing the pigeons.
Okay.
So
Shoal Joel. Okay, I'm going to check that out. All right, we're going to continue to roll. Tillman Fertitta, if you missed it, we covered it last segment yesterday, but a lot of feedback coming in today based on the fact that Tillman and Daryl had a little press conference last night and said they could not come to terms, reach an agreement with Mike D'Antoni on an extension. D'Antoni's camp came out and said that he's fine. He's going to be okay. He's looking forward to coaching the team next season, and he'll go from there. Tillman had some pretty spicy comments. Some of them, including Mike probably did it. Tillman said Mike probably did us a favor because now if things don't go well and he underachieves, I'm not on the hook for having to pay him. But if he does what he's supposed to do, then he can hold a gun to my head after the season and get more money. I don't know, man.
I don't know if he did him a favor or they wouldn't give him a deal. And Mike D'Antoni knew he wasn't going to get a deal.
I think from the get-go, what I told you, LeGarry is his agent, who basically is an agent for most of the coaches in the league, Warren LeGarry. And Warren LeGarry and Mike D'Antoni made a strategic move by saying, not only do we want to coach next year for the Rockets, but we want an extension. We'd like it for up to 3 years. We're ready to go. And that put the pressure on the Rockets. And I don't think in any way, shape, or form, as I've said to you guys on the air before, I don't think Tillman or Daryl were anyway even considering wanting to give him an extension. Because based on how the season ended, based on the fact they still haven't beat the Warriors, based on he's got turmoil in the locker room and defensively and for other things, they haven't gotten the job done, they were going to use this as a prove-it season.
Well, I mean, and I guess we can play the audio. A lot of it depends on, in my opinion, what can you do with this roster to make it better? Obviously, right? That's one of the first questions. And we always talk about the restrictions and how you're kind of tied behind your back with the salary cap. But let's hear what Tillman Fertitta had to say first.
We're not going to make a change just to make a change, okay? Our goal is you try to set yourself to get into the Western Conference Finals, and then you probably need a little luck, okay? And that's even for Golden State. That's for anybody, okay? You still can't say, well, I'm going to put a team together to win the championship. You want to set yourself up to be one of the best two teams in your conference and then hope you can win it all. And that's going to be our goal. We've got a runway right now. We've got a great nucleus, and we have a great coach. We have a great general manager, and we have an okay owner. That's what we're going to do, and we're going to do whatever it takes to be successful and be – every year the Rockets are always going to be one of those teams, okay? You're going to always – there's always going to be a little noise because I'm a deal guy and he's a deal guy, okay? And we're going to always be trying to make ourselves better. That's what I've always done in my company. That's one of the reasons we get along so well. oh, everything's okay, we're going to be okay. That's not the way I operate, and that's not the way they operate, okay? So every year, you're going to see us trying to make ourselves better.
He went on to say he likes his starting five, which gave you the first indication that anyone not in that starting five should be put on notice, and the fact that he's probably got a guy or two in his starting five that he'd like to make some change with. So
there's so many things I can pick apart in that minute and 5 seconds, but I want to start with the fact that Tillman Fertitta, at least, is putting himself in the line of fire, right? Mm-hmm. I'm an okay owner. Every year, the Rockets will have some noise, whether it's in the regular season or in the playoffs. Define noise. Like, is Oklahoma City a team that made... Is the number six seed going to be a team that's made noise in the Western Conference? I would say no. Is the Rockets going to be that seed? It's possible.
I think more than anything else, what he's saying is kind of an extension of what Les Alexander always put on the table, which is, I'm all about winning championships, giving back to the community. So winning championships means I'm competing for one. So to answer your question, it's not just good enough to make the playoffs like the teams for a couple years that were winning 41, 42 games and then just kind of seeing where the chips may fall in the playoffs. This is a team, as long as you have a James Harden in his prime, he fully expects is going to compete for at least the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, and I would imagine some of it is ad lib because the stuff that like what I would disagree with is a little luck. I mean, yeah, you need some luck, but you need some better players. You need some skill.
Like, and where are they coming from with the salaries you're paying?
To me, luck is one of the key players on the opposing team got injured, and therefore they're not as good as the team. That's luck. That's good luck. You're not going to be a completely healthy roster and then go up against a completely healthy Golden State Warriors roster and then depend on some luck in the Western Conference Finals. That's not going to get the job done.
Humor me this, Nick. If you need some luck, weren't the Rockets lucky enough to find Kevin Durant out for half a game five and all of 6 and 7? Should it have gone that long? Isn't that the kind of luck that
you
needed?
How much luck do you need?
Exactly my point.
That's exactly where we were getting at. And the reality is, how much luck do you need when you have Boogie Cousins out, KD with the Cavs situation? And Boogie Cousins, I kept saying this the entire series when the Rockets were playing them. What would this team be if Boogie Cousins was playing? Like,
done earlier.
Like, you think, well, it could have been. It could have been a 5-game series. I don't think they would have swept them, but it could have been a 5, because they ended it in 6.
Lot
at home,
to digest.
Which is embarrassing enough.
Lot to digest there. So if you guys want to talk some Rockets, we're here for you. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at besthotelrates.com. A lot of you with school getting out, looking forward to making a family vacation, a jaunt somewhere in the country or maybe outside the country. A lot of you travel for business a lot, but you're just not doing the right things to get the best rates possible for your hotel stays. This is why I'm telling you about besthotelrates.com. It's real easy. You just go to besthotelrates.com. You put in your destination and your dates of travel, and they'll take it from there. They've already secured deals with over 600,000 hotels worldwide. Hotels you probably have already stayed at or want to stay at, but you just want to pay their prices. I'm telling you right now, when you go to besthotelrates.com, you're going to find out they eliminate the middleman. They pass the savings on to you, and you get great hotels at a great rate. Their customer service is fantastic, so they make sure that you lock in your reservation. It's going to be safe places to stay that are clean and top-notch. 4- and 5-star hotels are on the table and available and at a good rate. So all you got to do is, like I said, check out the website, besthotelrates.com. They're going to take care of you, because make sure that you know it's in the name, besthotelrates.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an FYI Friday. Appreciate you joining us, taking us along for the ride wherever you may be in the big city. We were kicking around a lot of things in the opening half of the show, including Mike Tyson. And you had mentioned that he punched the game's manager for insinuating that Tupac might be bi.
Correct.
Or might have been bi.
Correct.
To which Chris Davis tweeted us and said, would you take a punch from Tyson for six figures? You just said you would.
I would.
I'm with Tyler. Tyler said, against my better judgment, I'd do it, but six figures better be $999,000 instead of... I'm with him on that as well.
But you're essentially asking for seven figures. That's $1 million.
Exactly right.
But it's not, because it's still only six figures.
Fair enough.
Right?
$100,000. That should cover all your medical expenses.
Can I throw out the other element?
But then you're talking about like the UFC fighter situation where after your medical bills, like what if he gets you in the jaw, breaks your jaw, you got to get your jaw wired shut.
How much does it cost to get your face wired shut? Like what, 10 grand?
At a hospital, like without insurance, you're probably looking at least like $30,000, $40,000.
Really? It's going to cost that much?
Yeah.
Actually, I can probably see that. I can see that because when my brother didn't have insurance and he injured his hand, it was like 8 grand.
Ridiculous amounts of money if you don't have insurance. When they talk about simple things being in the range of like up to millions of dollars with the prices for surgeries and things like that. So I'm with you. Tim Burgess asked a question and I have a follow up for both of you. Okay. Cause he said, to your point, is medical care paid for or does that come out of the money that you would get? Which that's important. Right. Here's the other important distinction from my opinion. Is it bare fisted or would he have a boxing glove on? Cause I think the boxing glove somewhat softens the blow and takes down the risk of having substantial brain damage and, like you said, broken jaws and things like that.
I would prefer a boxing glove if he would allow it. You know, I wouldn't want, you know, a straight fist from Mike Tyson to my face like that. Like
you just said, your face.
I mean, I would take, if there was a choice, I would choose a boxing glove, probably a 16 ounce boxing glove, like one of the bigger ones.
Right.
Yeah, not no 8 or 10 or 12.
I mean,
ounce
I'm looking
glove.
For, I'm protecting, I want return on the investment. I don't want to get the money and then be like completely out of this world, nut, you know, just brain dead so I can't enjoy it.
So you have to wire your face shut. That's 40 grand. You still got 60 grand left over. Bad deal?
You do. Tyler and I have.
Bad deal?
Tyler and I have $900,000.
60 grand. Bad deal? Not a bad deal.
Terrible deal.
50 grand.
Not, terrible deal.
Really?
Man, I don't. I think I would probably take a shot to the ribs for 50 or 60, but definitely not the face.
So would Carlos Gray.
But the ribs will, like, you will be in pain. Like, if he broke a rib, you'd be in pain for weeks on end.
But also, you got to worry about concussions.
Nick, would you rather be able to eat, but then have to worry about a broken rib
like
or two?
What if he breaks that your orbital socket?
That would suck. That would totally suck. Absolutely.
I feel like that's worse than
a rib.
A rib.
That's a good question. I don't know. Ribs suck. Rib injuries suck. But an orbital socket, that would suck too. I don't know. I would take it. I'd be scared, but I would take it.
Now, under the category of ribs, not that you would eat, Tyler, and the fact that we know what happened to Carlos Correa this week. Did you hear about Dale Earnhardt Jr.? Dale Earnhardt Jr. recently was having some issues. So his wife, as he explained on Twitter, said that he was having chest pains. They were sharp, really bad. So she encouraged him to get it checked out. The doctor suspected, and boy, I'd like to have Nick and maybe even Tyler spell this, but it's and pronounce it. But I'm going to take a shot at it. Costochondritis, okay? Inflammation of the sternum. And the ribs is what they thought it was. So he went in, he did some tests and everything like that. Eventually, they sent him to a specialist. They put him through several tests to rule out any concerns with his heart. And then the diagnosis was, as his doctor suspected, it was costochondritis. But at the end of the conversation, the doctor asked me, by the way, when did you break your sternum and your rib? He's like, I got no idea. He said, then he shows me an x-ray and says, it was broken at some point as well as the rib. And now he said, I can't stop wondering what wreck or thing that I did that might have broken his rib.
Does Dell still race?
Dell raced?
I don't think so.
Delvin Diesel was a race car driver?
No, because that would be my first assumption. I thought he retired too, but my first assumption would
Dale.
Be.
No, Dale retired.
Right, Dylan Hart. But I would assume it was from racing. I mean, it's not.
Oh, absolutely. That's why he's saying he's trying to remember from the races. But I'm going, hey, well, at least there's hope for Astros fans that think that it could just happen out of the blue because Correa did.
Right. I mean, the reason why I'm asking, because this is new. Like, this is recent. He's been He's been retired for a while.
A couple years now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I've heard of weirder injuries. I mean,
said he ran 54 of 72 races between 2016 and 2017 before he retired. And after competing in the first half of 2016, he was sidelined for the second half with concussion symptoms. Between his final two seasons, he was involved in 9 wrecks that kept him from finishing. But he still doesn't know when he broke the rib and the breastbone even before that.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess if it's a situation like that, then a rib injury doesn't sound as bad. You know what I mean? Like, if he didn't even know he had a rib injury, like it was like a tiny fracture or a fracture or a break to the point where he didn't really feel it, then yeah. But how do you know you're going to get that type of injury? Getting a punch from Mike Tyson.
That's the thing. I mean, first of all, I'm sticking to my guns, and Tyler and I are on the right page.
I feel like you guys are.
You got to get 900,000 closer on the 900,000 side than the 100,000 side.
But Tyler's point about insurance does make. We have a texter that said I made the terrible mistake of catching pneumonia, which I don't know how. It's his mistake. Obamacare approved, insurance didn't cover it. $140,000.
I'm telling you, man,
for pneumonia,
you don't want that right now. You don't want that smoke and have medical issues without and having
insurance. $140,000 for pneumonia.
So think about that. That's just for pneumonia. Now, what if you had a surgery and God forbid it was somewhat major?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well,
that is crazy. Figures are
unbelievable these days.
That's insane to me.
So, all right. So we'll continue to roll on. Plenty more to get to on the show. Again, if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us up on Twitter. Back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, taking us on the go wherever you may be. Learn it's an F, yeah, Friday, and we appreciate you guys listening. With that being said, checking the text line. Guys, I'm listening every day in my work truck. I'm leaving my job of 4.5 years today. Start my new job Monday. Hope to be listening again soon. Thanks for the laughs. We appreciate you. And then my question would be, why do you have to stop listening? Even if you're not driving your work truck anymore, if you're out and about, you have a car radio. And if you're not, you can get earbuds. You can just listen on your computer. Don't stop listening.
Or the app. There's options.
We give you options. Don't fail us for not failing you. How about that?
Absolutely. Go to your local store. Download the app too. If you search ESPN Houston, that's an easy way to find it, whether it's your Google Play Store or your iPhone app store. It's a real easy way to listen to the programming. But real quick, if you are a dad and you want an opportunity to win 4 season passes to Schlitterbahn Galveston, you can do that. All you got to do is prove that you're the ultimate dad, because ESPN 97.5 and Schlitterbahn Galveston want to see if you have what it takes to be Mr. Bond. To enter the post, or to enter, post the best photo showing why you're the ultimate dad, and make sure you hashtag Mr. Bond. That's MRBAHN. 5 finalists will be chosen by our 5 local shows, and one lucky winner will receive 4 season passes to Schlitterbahn Galveston.
So we get to choose one of the finalists.
I just don't know.
I can't choose me, and I know you guys would choose me too. So we're actually looking for the second best candidate for Dad of the Year.
God, there's so many ways. You got to be really creative, because there's so many ways you can make yourself look like a good dad, or fool people into thinking you're a good dad just by simply taking a picture.
Don't you do it just to try and hook up with chicks at the...
I do not. I'm not. I will never say I'm a dad. Why would I say I'm a dad to hook up with chicks?
Because it endears chicks to your sensitive side.
You think that helps?
This is the same way guys like rent puppies to walk them at the park and then go to see the hot... They see the hot chicks and go, did you want to play with my puppy?
I don't... Well, see, the puppy is... I think it's a conversation starter.
So is having a kid, even if you don't have one.
I don't know. Maybe. You think I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to... My ass getting is going to be increased by lying to everybody and telling them I'm a dad.
You could be sitting at the bar, got your hot cougar walks in, You think she's fine. You start a conversation, go, you know, what are you doing here? Because for me, you know, I was thinking about going on an elaborate vacation, doing a bunch of things. But my daughter really has been down on her luck, and she hasn't been able to hang out with her friends and go to the mall and do the things. She doesn't have transportation. So I took the money that I was going to use for the vacation, and I decided to let her have it to buy a car. And in the meantime, I'm just sitting here at the bar.
I wrote all that down. Wrote it all down.
Well, there's also available on the podcast. If you need it.
I just, I've never used that as an approach, but maybe I'll try it. I feel like you're setting me up, Joel.
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm telling you that I know so many people that like used to want to borrow my dog to take it to the park at Memorial Park because they thought it was a chick magnet and that they could get chicks because of the fact that they were walking my dog.
Interesting.
And my dog got exercise out of it. I didn't have to pay for a dog walker. I was cool with it.
Now, they can take one look at my body and say, yeah, he might be a dad. Like, I can fool people into thinking.
Oh, if Barry was here right now, yes, he would definitely validate.
He would say, yeah, all right, you're a dad for sure. But I just don't know how far that will take me. I'll try it. But if I get in trouble or slapped, I'm letting you know, sir.
I would like to know that.
I'm not saying you would love to see that.
I was going to say, it wouldn't hurt my feelings. Yeah. Text messages, Nick, just get some game. Very simple.
Okay.
Appreciate that. You said you've seen this. Someone texted in and said there used to be videos of Kimbo Slice punching people for $100. R.I.P. Slice.
Oh, you said you saw it. It was just strictly punching. No, I used to see his old fights that he used to publish on YouTube. Now, I didn't know that he would just, here, punch me, and then, yeah, I wouldn't do that. Because
Kimbo Slice. Not a hundo.
Kimbo Slice did everything without gloves.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's no way I'm doing that.
No thanks.
Nope. I don't know if I'd do it for six. Well, actually, I mean, Mike Tyson can probably punch just as hard, if not harder than Kimbo.
Probably right.
R.I.P. Kimbo Slice.
That's what I said, yeah. A punch from Tyson could break your neck or even kill you, someone texted in, obviously. That's why I said, I'm not doing all that.
The danger and the risk for serious injury is definitely there, regardless. Pink Valkyrie says, I'm the ultimate dead. I just saw that pop on Twitter. That's funny.
Okay, so with that being said, Lenny wants to get in here before we wrap up talk on Mike Tyson and, I guess, pigeons. Lenny, what's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think you guys might be talking about the wrong injuries. A broken jaw or an orbital bone or rib, that's something you would get from hitting each other or letting me hit you or something like that. You're talking, brain swelling, possible funeral costs. In my opinion, if you let Mike Tyson get hauled off of it.
Yeah.
And secondly, one last thing real quick. Joel, that's a little worrisome how quickly you came up with that story for the ball, by the way.
Which one?
About how to pick up a girl.
Oh, yeah, you know, got to do what I got to do, Lenny. I'm not giving you the backstory for it. I'm just giving you the information, the pertinent stuff you need.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, buddy. All right, Lenny, thanks for the call. Continue to push on. We had a text here, and Nicholas... We talked about this a little bit, but we'll throw it out there. Will Tillman's desire to win attract or deter players from wanting to play for the Rockets? Will they want to play with the Rockets and have that winning mindset, or would they rather play somewhere else without the owner breathing down their neck?
So my answer to that question is, it's a combination of things, and I know it's probably not a fair answer, but Joel, you brought this to my attention when you first started working here, and how players they don't always want to play next to James Harden. So Tillman Fertitta almost has to be a salesman in that, look, not only do I want you to play for my team, but I want you to play against our number one star in James Harden. And I think there's a sales pitch to be thrown at a player, especially if that player is a superstar. Now, if it's not a superstar, I don't know how much leverage that, you know, role player will have going up against Tillman Fertitta. But if it's a superstar, yeah. And the fact that he's saying we're not just going to change our starting five, we like our starting five. If you're not going to make any changes, there's nothing that's going to be done. So
here's my thing to your point, Nick. You're not talking about, for right now, throw out the potential for a max player because you don't have the money to do it. And in order to get the money to do it, you're going to have to gut most of what you have in place already. Okay?
Yeah.
Because I've said it on numerous occasions. The fact that you're going to pay four guys $95 million is not becoming of getting a Jimmy Butler or someone of that magnitude. Now, here's the other flip side. To answer the text message's question, the fact that we talked about it yesterday, I threw it out there. It's such a bad look for this organization right now. It's like panic mode. And you're trying to take that next step forward, but in doing so, you may take two or three back. Because in order to... sure, it's one thing to say, I'm going to find a deal for Clint Capella. or Eric Gordon. But what am I going to get in return? Because if I'm not going to be better in what I get in return because the players that I get back are going to make me a better team, then why would I do the deal in the first place? Why wouldn't I just concentrate on making a few tweaks, getting about $9 million that I can play with to get at least two players to come on the mid-level in and around that, and maybe I chase a Rodney Hood, or maybe I bring back Trevor Ariza on the cheap and can get one or two more players to build up my bench. But if he's so confident in his starters, then that's what I would see him doing. But the bigger issue that you have, to again, go back to the text message, is who wants to play in Houston when you've got a lame duck coach who obviously doesn't seem to be very pleased and who obviously doesn't have the endorsement of an organization, because the general manager went and gutted all of the people that were closest to him and said, deal with that. And if you aren't one of those coaches that says, I can't fire my staff, I'm going with them, then basically I've said this week, it's going to be really big to see who they replace those guys that left, and if the Rockets pick them or if D'Antoni picks them. Because if the Rockets pick them, they're basically telling you, we don't give a rat's ass who our head coach is, but we're going to set up guys that are going to be here when our head coach is gone so that we know what we want going forward, and we're picking our guys. If that happens, another X against strike against Mike D'Antoni. And then the other thing is, you don't know what's going on between owner and Daryl, and we've talked about the fact that we've heard that infighting. We heard the Chris Paul, James Harden infighting. If I'm a free agent, it's obviously the money, but then you start thinking about it going, I want to go where I can win, and I want to go where it's going to be a pretty smooth ride. That sounds about as bumpy as anything other than the Lakers.
Yeah, and it's a completely different dynamic with the Houston Rockets than, let's say, the San Antonio Spurs, where you have Greg Popovich, who probably has a whole lot more influence on that team than Mike D'Antoni will with this team. So I don't know how much that's going to bother Mike D'Antoni. I think it should a little bit, because obviously you want to work with your guys. But at the same time, when he initially got this job, I think he kind of knew he wasn't going to have the influence like a Greg Popovich or some of the other coaches.
He didn't have control overall. Now, Daryl, in the sound bites we've been playing and some of the things I've seen, said, oh, he runs everything through D'Antoni. There's no way D'Antoni's signing off on Michael Carter-Williams and James Ennis as replacements for Trevor Ariza and Luke Mbambute. So I call BS on that.
100%. And I think the most influence or power he had is when he initially was considered as a candidate for the job, right? You can hit him up with a prenup. Look, if you're going to take me for this head coaching position, then I want this guy to be my assistant coach, this guy to be my defensive coordinator, this guy to be another assistant coach, my strength coach, whatever the case may be. That's the only influence or power you have when you know you're a candidate and you know you're about to get the job.
Or after your first year, when you win 65 games and you do set franchise records, that's when you go, hey, look, I either need another assistant or I want these guys. But you're right. You're in a position of power and strength when you're first hired and when you do things like he did 2 years ago. But after this season, there's little to no wiggle room in your favor.
But honestly, Joel, I don't know if he got any power after that 65-win season. It didn't gain.
You know what he did?
It didn't look like he gained any more influence.
You know how you can prove it? He didn't want Carmelo.
No.
So if he had to take Carmelo, it shows you he had no power.
Exactly. The 65 wins that he had did not give, you would think it would give him more influence, but it didn't. It didn't give him anything.
So here's the other thing you got to consider going forward, because of all the things that we've said and the fact that he needs assistant coaches. We don't know what's going to happen with Daryl and Tillman and James and Chris and all those things going forward. The question also was, is it hard with an owner breathing down your neck? And if you look across the league these days, it's basically the norm, not an abnormality. Mark Cuban, okay? Most owners have Dan Gilbert in Cleveland.
Right.
Most owners are hands-on, whether they're breathing down your neck or not. They're involved in everything. And most of them are glorified kids. They have all this money, but what do they really want to do? They want to be the closest to the players. They want to park where the players park. They want to be in the locker room, be on the court, act like one of them. You know, be like on the in crowd with all the cool guys, the players. So they're always going to be around, and they're always going to have their hands in everything that they do.
Yeah.
So, all right. We got two in the books. We got 1 hour still to go. Still 60 minutes on the clock before we take you up till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. It's Fred, and who's the guest host today, Tyler? Do we know? It's multiples, I believe.
I'm not sure. Maybe
Jermaine and Holly,
No, Jermaine and Josh.
Oh, Jermaine and Josh. Yeah. Outstanding. Josh Jordan getting some run. I love that. Josh Jordan, if you don't listen to his show with Jerry Bow on Sundays, you're missing that as well. But Josh will be in today along with Fred. That'll be cool for the Blitz. But we've got an hour on the clock. Back with more in just mere minutes. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.